4 days until the midterm elections. Are the chances of Republicans keeping the House of Representatives improving?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president crisscrossing the country in a final pitch for his party, holding rallies in key battleground states, including two today. This afternoon, he heads to West Virginia. After that, he will go to Indiana.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This election will decide whether we build on an extraordinary prosperity that we have achieved, probably the greatest economy in the history of our nation. Think about it.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, it's if you look at the reports, you got CNN saying that the Democrats are likely to pick up 226 seats, which would be a House majority, while the Republicans will win just 209. That's the plan as it looks right now. At least that's the reports they're indicating. The Senate forecast, they said Republicans will hold 51 seats and maintain control of the Senate next Congress, while Democrats will hold just 49. So they don't think the Republicans will even have a pickup in the United States Senate, which I don't hear anybody saying that.
No, that would be the almost a worst-case scenario for Republicans in the U.S. So that means they didn't flip any of these, win any of these battleground states at all, and including in places where it appears that they've got a real good chance of doing so. I guess that would take in mind you'd have to give out, you'd have to say that that Republicans would somehow lose Nevada and Arizona, something like that, which were Republican seats. But Dean Heller is leading in Nevada and Arizona's tied.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I don't think, I think Dean Heller is on the upswing there. It's interesting. We've got some new early voting statistics out today. We talked about that a lot, but kind of to give you an update here. In Tennessee, the race to watch here is the U.S. Senate race. Marsha Blackburn and Phil Bredesen, Marsha Blackburn, congresswoman, and Bredesen, a former Democrat governor. 95% the advance ballots cast as a percentage of total ballots cast in 2014. So we're almost at the number of votes that were cast in the 2014 midterm elections by just the early voting.
Yeah,
so we're just
tells you.
So what does that mean? It could be double the amount of votes as it was in last midterm election.
We said this yesterday. If, in fact, there is a situation where you have this unbelievable record turnout, does Larry Sabato's crystal ball or the Cook Report or Real Clear Politics average mean anything at that point?
I don't think so. I mean, Nevada's at 91%. Arizona's at 88%. I mean, that means that, again, the 2014 numbers have basically been met. And so everything is additional at this point. And who does that benefit? I mean, you would assume that is benefiting that Trump voter who wasn't showing up before in election cycles and is coming out because they support Donald Trump's a new kind of Republican party. In Texas, you're at 84%. These are big states. In Georgia, 70% of votes that were cast in 2014. You're already at those numbers. So you don't have to have even very big turnout on election day to get into the 150% of the votes cast. That would be that getting closer and closer to almost presidential year numbers.
All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What's motivating you to vote? Is it the agenda of the administration? Is it a particular policy? What is motivating you to get out and vote? 1-800-684-3110. Than Bennett, how do you see things? I know it's changing up there in Washington about every hour and a half. What are you seeing?
Well, something's motivating people to vote in big numbers. I mean, the numbers that Jordan just recited, Jay, I mean, we're talking about 4 days to go before elections. And by the end of the weekend, I think you're going to have a half a dozen states that have already had more voters than the last midterm elections. Jay, I just don't see another way to look at this other than that Trump voter is turning out. And even the typical Republican voter is turning out because, Jay, when you don't have power, you tend to go to the polls. So there's not a whole lot of new voters for Democrats to find. If we have this kind of amazing turnout, I think that benefits the party that's in power. And that prediction that you saw from CNN, while the data shows that 226 seats in the House for Democrats is about right, if it's a 50% turnout, I don't think they're getting to that number.
In Montana's already at 70% of the numbers just by early voting. New Mexico at 63%, Florida at 62%, North Carolina at 53%. Of the states we're watching, it doesn't drop until you hit Maryland, where it's at 35%, which is still high. But what we're talking about is these ones that are almost at 100% of the vote turnout as they were in the midterms of 2014. And they probably will be, as Dan said, by the time all those early votes are counted.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Take a listen to President Trump's upcoming schedule. We are 4 days out from the midterm elections. Today, he'll be in Huntington, West Virginia, 3 congressional seats there, and of course, a Senate seat there. Joe Manchin. And he's also going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana. Tomorrow, the president heads to Pensacola, Florida, and Montana. On Sunday, he'll be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Macon, Georgia. And on Monday, he'll hit 3 states, Missouri, Ohio, and Indiana. Let me tell you, folks, more could be added. This is just the president's schedule. I want to undermine this. Underscore. This is not including the vice president, other key surrogates as well that are out there on the campaign trail. This is the president of the United States. And you know when he holds these rallies, the entire nation actually tunes in.
Yep.
So he's giving you 2 opportunities a day now until Sunday to see him at these rallies. And then on the day before the election, 3 opportunities where the whole nation will be able to tune in to see the president getting out the vote for Republicans. But what we are underscoring today is we see these early numbers coming in on votes cast in early voting. We're talking about numbers. I know that people said, could we get close to that 50% of total voters in America, which is pretty close to presidential numbers, which is usually around 54, 55.
Yep.
So if you got to 50% in the midterm and usually you're at 36%, none of these polls could be accurate. I mean, I think if you're Republican or Democrat, you have to throw it out the window. We're getting close to that just by the early voting.
So the early voting statistics are showing
me that if Tennessee is almost at 100% of where it was in 2014, and then they have Election Day voting as well, where a lot of people are going to vote, you're going to be at 150% of where you were in the last time there was a midterm election. That does get you closer to that 50% number,
which means base turnout at that point, or is that people that have not been voting?
At that point, you've gotten past base turnout.
So whose advantage is that, or is it hard to tell?
I think it's Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has... These people obviously came out to vote for him in the Rust Belt, and the states that he won that were traditionally Democrat in the last election cycle, who did not vote before traditionally. They were not traditional Republican or Democrat voters, and they showed up to vote for President Trump, and it may be resonating to them. It might be, again, all of this has to be couched in might, because we're just looking at numbers, not who they people voted for, what party they were from, even that they showed up. But it might be that it is those voters that is making these that are blowing out these numbers. They're these voters that have only come out to vote because of Donald Trump.
Harry, your sense?
Well, my sense is that Republicans face many headwinds.
Yep.
However, I think as Jordan has explained, it's very, very possible that the Republicans will outperform in 2018 like they outperformed in 2016. And so then we have to throw out all of the models. We have to throw out all of the prognostications that have been issued thus far. And it's very possible that at the end of the day, when all the votes are counted, that the Republicans will have a very solid performance next Tuesday.
So let me ask you this, Stan. What are you hearing from the various committees? I mean, you got the Senate committees, the House committees. I mean, what are they saying with these record numbers of early voting?
They're saying that the president has coattails even when he's not on the ballot, Jay. I mean, I really do think that's the only way that you can look at it. And by the way, even in states and districts where that doesn't mean the Republican candidate is going to get over the line, it has meant that the national parties, the campaign arms for the Democrats have had to spend in a lot of places where they didn't plan to. And by the way, just one other data point on this early voting to point out, in my home state of Maryland, they've had about twice the number of early voters that they did in 2014. And Jay, that's in a state with a Republican governor and no competitive Senate race on the map. So you're seeing new voters come to the polls in early voters really all the way down the ballots. And it's in all the key swing states, the ones that we're focused on the most, but it's also in states where you might not expect it. And I think it really can only be attributed to one thing, and that is the president's coattails.
Do you think, Than, that the early voting numbers, the large numbers, bodes well, more likely beneficial to the Republicans, or is it too? Are we not going to know until election night?
Well, we won't know till an election night, but in my opinion, Jay, that's really the only rational explanation, because we knew that the Democrats were going to have enthusiasm. And it's always been the case, when you don't have any of the power in Washington, D.C., your voters are motivated to turn out. And by the way, I think President Trump does turn out the opposition base. The question was whether or not he and the Republicans would be able to turn out their base. So there are a lot more voters that would not be inclined to go to the poll that they would have access to turn out. That's where the additional numbers come from. If you saw, you know, a turnout of 35, 40, or even maybe like 42%, then maybe Democrats could argue that. But once you get over that, Jay, I really think that is drawing mainly from the president's base.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Barbara called in from California on line 4. Barbara, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, thank you for all you guys do.
Yep.
Listen, there's three words for why I'm getting to the poll. Pelosi, Feinstein, and Waters.
So I take it you're voting Republican. That's a pretty fair guess. And look, you know, the Nancy Pelosi issue, I call it an issue because you've got some Democrats that are saying, Harry, well, you know, I'm not even saying I would vote for her for Speaker of the House.
Absolutely. But she's been very, very coy. She's accepted the support, if you will, of individuals who plan to vote against her, so long as it moves her over the top and the Democrats take control. Yeah. In addition, she, along with other Democrats, are promising to ramp up investigations and issue subpoenas, not designed to accomplish anything necessarily for the American people, but to paralyze the president's agenda. So it's very, very important for people to vote. And if we want to see additional action that benefits the middle class going forward, it's probable that we need to really think about whether or not subpoenas are, and more investigations yep. are the appropriate mechanism for achieving success for the American people.
And that is, of course, if the House goes Democratic, that's the threats. It's kind of the thematic, Jordan, that they're actually running on.
Yeah, that is. That is. I mean, the idea here, again, is that you will have a stalemate. The Democrat idea is that they are the resistance to every policy. The only thing that won't do is in the Senate, that won't prevent any kind of confirmations for judicial nominations or other confirmed cabinet yep. positions and administration positions. So even in the worst case scenario for Republicans, no one right now seems to be predicting Republicans losing the Senate.
Yeah.
Which is,
although that one CNN thing makes it very tight.
I mean, makes it very tight, but not losing. Again, I think that when you look at any of the polls, for the most part, it looks like unless there's just something totally off in this election cycle, Republicans will likely gain a couple more in the Senate, and that is a nice it adds a nice cushion to it. Then instead of just having that 51 majority, I want to go right back to the phones 1-800-684-3110 because we've got races going on important in every state, and we're on in all the states, and people are calling in. Michael is calling from Tampa, Florida, on line 6 in a state that's got important gubernatorial race. Senate race and a number of House races that are toss-ups as well. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Michael.
Thank you, guys. Man, you guys are awesome. You do a great job. Love listening to you. Yeah, I went out and voted because, this Gillum guy, he really scares me. He had the one video on where he was giving a shout-out to these Dream Defenders. So I did some research to look at, what's this organization about. And come to find out, they have a gentleman on their board who's a Palestinian attorney who wants to wipe out the state of Israel.
Yeah.
I'm like, these people are nuts.
Well, go ahead, Jordan.
Very liberal activist, has played to the middle, has tried to paint Ron DeSantis a congressman. Gillum is the mayor of Tallahassee. Ron DeSantis is a congressman. So, again, there's been a lot of issues there in that campaign. The issue of race has come up. The issue of corruption in Tallahassee. You bring up this issue of the far – I'd say it's what is those individuals like Gillum representing those college towns like Tallahassee, yep. Also the capital, but it's a college town. They end up being very far left. These are far left liberals trying to make a play to a state where you've got a lot of elderly voters and pretty moderate voters as well. I mean, down the line, it's a Republican usually statewide when it comes to positions like governor. And then sometimes you have a Bill Nelson type Democrat senator. But listen, Bill Nelson's only got about let's look at this. In the Senate race there in Florida, Governor Rick Scott against Senator Bill Nelson, who's been in the Senate a long time. It's basically even. Yeah, Bill Nelson with a small 2-point lead in the Real Clear Politics average. So it's even. Rick Scott has plenty of resources to continue to put into this race. In the governor's race, it's Gillum again with it, like a 2-point lead. So margin of error, 50-50. Typical Florida. A lot of toss-up congressionals in Florida as well. You've got one open seat that's Republican that they say is leaning Democrat. That's Florida 27. You've got two Republican toss-ups. One is open, Florida 15. Another is Florida 26, Curbelo. I mean, so with Florida, you've got so many different important statewide races and then congressional races as well. Voter turnout, by the way, early voting there already passed at the 2014 numbers. It's 62%. That's in Florida. Let me just give you an idea. That's already 3.7 million votes cast.
So, Harry, let me give you a 20-second response. What's motivating the Democrats, do you think? What motivates the Democrats right now?
Well, it's largely ideological resistance to President Trump. They see President Trump as illegitimate, and that is propelling at least some Democratic voters going forward.
And the Republicans quickly?
Well, I think they like the president's agenda. They like his accomplishments. The Wall Street Journal has said that this Congress is one of the most consequential Congresses in.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
There's all kinds of numbers out there. There's all kinds of reports out there. The CNN saying that they believe that the Republicans will lose the House. There's other reports saying differently. They also say that the Senate may barely be hung on by the Republicans, like by two Senate seats. Others are saying it could be up to 54 or 55 for the Republicans. What we do know, though, is that there's been a massive pre-election or pre-voting day early voting. I mean, that number, yeah. Jordan, is staggering.
Especially in the states that have these key races that are very, you know, that are not just... There's 35 Senate races, but not all of them are battleground races. Some are pretty given to one party or the other. But when you look at states that have early voting and people are really taking advantage of, I mean, the lower in numbers are still 30% of the total votes cast last time around. I mean, so that means that you've already got a lot of votes in before Election Day, even in like a West Virginia where 26% of the votes are already in. That's in advance of 2014. That means voter turnout is going to be higher than the last midterm election there. It may not be as high as some places like Tennessee, where it's almost at 100% of where it was. But also, let me remind you, different states have different early voting
yep.
rules and how it works and how easy the access is.
But you don't
to
know
it.
If it's Republicans or Democrats on no, the early voting.
But you can start. You could start breaking the next level of breaking this down if there's time.
Is by county.
4 days is by seeing where these numbers are coming from. So, you know, how many people in a Republican county may get up these numbers versus how many in a traditionally Democrat county?
When they start giving those numbers?
I don't know if they'll have time. I mean, we're 4 days out. We're 4 days out, and these numbers are blowing out previous the previous numbers. So I think just getting these is telling enough, and I think probably concerning to both parties, honestly, because it means what they were planning for, these base elections, isn't what they're getting.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call, 800-684-3110. We're asking you, what's motivating you to get out and vote?
Nancy's calling in from Minnesota online, too. Two Senate races there. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Nancy.
Thank you. What's motivating me to vote is the threat to our freedom of speech. Because in this climate, the progressives have created where we don't feel safe to honestly debate the issues. Won't our other freedoms fall like dominoes? And that's why I can support ACLJ, ADF, First Liberty, and Judicial Watch, because you guys are doing what we've elected our representatives to do.
Well, you know, if you impact the freedom of speech, the First Liberty, let me tell you, everything else, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, it all falls under the First Amendment. All of that's at risk. Now, I'm not saying whose side is going to protect or not protect, but there is this, with all these moves of political correctness going on, And the vitriol coming out of the left on this has been pretty off the top. You can't even go speak on a – you're invited to speak on a university campus. Now, I've had this experience. You go invited to speak on a university campus, why would you do it? Even though the university's inviting you to speak. Because it's not the free marketplace of ideas in the sense that you have serious civil debates and discussions. It's shout fests.
No, and now, you know, if you discuss immigration, you have a view on immigration that we should have secure borders, you are a racist. Yeah, that happened on CNN yesterday where literally it was Rick Santorum said to the host, I cannot believe you've gotten to this point here. And he's a CNN contributor, the former senator from Pennsylvania, and a former presidential candidate, that you've gotten to a point where if a Republican runs an ad on securing our borders, that is considered racist in America now. And I think that's exactly what Nancy's talking about. The freedom to debate policy ideas and issues. How on earth will we ever get to comprehensive immigration reform if one side is considered racist for wanting to have secure borders? I mean, that is a pretty strong charge to make.
Harry?
Well, I think Jordan is absolutely correct. So what political correctness has done in many instances, it's paralyzed free debate. Hence, the Constitution and the rule of law suffer going forward. So this is a very consequential election. People need to go out and vote their preferences and make sure that political debate remains vibrant going forward.
I think that the reality of that we have right now, I think this is kind of the sense I get of where this is right this moment, is you've got this clash of worldviews. So you've got them on both sides, Republican and Democrat. And then within the parties, you also have a clash So there's an inter-party clash going on, too, where you've got like the establishment wing of the Republican Party and then more of the Donald Trump approach. And then in the Democratic Party, it's more of what I would call mainstream Democrat and the progressive wing of the party. So you've got all four of these currents going in at the same time. And then you've got this unprecedented turnout. And then, like Jordan said, until you have a county-by-county analysis, you're just not going to know how this is shaking out. But again, we're asking what's motivating you. And
what you just brought up, too, I think Renee in California is talking about as well. I mean, this sense of – well, I'll let Renee explain it for herself. Renee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Renee.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Sure. Thank you for taking my call. Yep. I love Trump. I'm registered independent. And I did not vote for Hillary or Trump in 2016, but what I have seen President Trump do, it's blowing my mind. I'm encouraged. I'm happy. And I'm thinking, I can't imagine the Democrats would pick up anything in the House or anything in the Senate, because now the American people have seen what real leadership is. And I wholeheartedly reject the Democrats' ideology, and I totally support Trump, and I've already voted. I revoted a straight Republican ticket where I could, because in here in L.A., there are some races that were, there was no Republican candidate, but I am so on fire for Trump. We are on fire.
Well, that's,
I voted for
what's an interesting thing, Renee, with what you're saying is, and this is the thing we don't know.
She did not vote for Donald Trump last time.
No, she didn't vote for Donald Trump this last time and came out, which goes to your point.
And voted straight Republican because she supports Donald Trump. So wasn't looking so much at these individual candidates, but was looking at the coattails, as Stan said, of Donald Trump. I want to put people in place who will help Donald Trump. That is Republicans. Democrats will not. They have made that clear. They are the resistance party. So I'm going to vote Republican every chance I get. And that's because I've seen what Donald Trump did. Add that to the people who gave Donald Trump this opportunity back last election cycle, who did not know how he would be as president because he did not have political experience. And that is, again, a number which you cannot poll. And I'm not saying that's going to turn California red. But there are House seats. I don't know where Renee lives in Los Angeles, what part of Los Angeles. But there are parts of L.A. Getting outside into kind of the county that have Republican congressional seats, and like Roybacher's seat, and again, the coast. And so, again, this could be that silent vote that comes out that changes everything. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, you put that together, though, it's unique. I voted straight Republican because of Donald Trump, and he's not on the ballot.
Who she didn't vote for before.
Who she didn't vote for, but voted for him, is casting this as a vote for him.
So the question then is which party is more motivated to affect not only the status quo that you've got, you know, a president that's a Republican and Democrats, their response. I guess. So you got the I want to back the president approach, people that may not have even voted for him or voted before, and then you have the as Jordan said, kind of the resistance within the Democratic Party, which is we're going to subpoena everything. We're going to stop this. They're focusing on health care. I mean, I'm going to go to Harriet. We have literally 15 seconds each. I mean, I think that's how it's coming down.
Yeah. So I think right now it's a very tough election to call.
Yeah.
It's clear beyond question that under President Trump's leadership, certainly according to the Wall Street Journal, this Congress has been very consequential.
Yep.
In terms of modest health care reform, tax cuts, defense spending, and the like, and judicial appointments. So if the Republicans actually pull this off, it's very possible that they will owe a huge thank you note to Dianne Feinstein and her opposition to Justice Kavanaugh.
So I'm going to give you 10 seconds, Dan.
If voters with a profile like Renee's, by definition, not a base voter, if they get out, Jay, it's going to be a very good night for the Republicans.
Red wave. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the ACLJ. Matching Challenge Month, ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We want to ask you what's motivating you to vote, because apparently, based on the data, many of you have record numbers, actually, that we're already seeing. Jordan, why don't we, again, kind of recap the program here on the, what those numbers look like for early voting. It's pretty very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I early voted, and I usually like to vote on election days just to kind of see turnout, but I wanted to early vote this year because there were lines already for that, and I couldn't know with our broadcast, everything, couldn't spend 3 hours in line on election day. So in Tennessee, I just want to underscore what these numbers are before I run through them. So in Tennessee, they're already at 95% of the ballots cast in 2014. That means they're only 5% short of the total number of votes that got cast in the last midterm election. So without election day. So that means when you add another day of this, probably, which you probably have, that means you're almost probably at 100% in Tennessee. So everything on Tuesday means that it is additional. I mean, that you're going to have a lot more people, 100, probably to be 150% of where it was. So it's already reached 100%, basically. So you're going to at least get 50% more. What does that mean? Already 1.3 million ballots cast in Tennessee. Nevada's at 91%. Again, understand, we're at 91% of the numbers that were in the last midterm, 88% in Arizona. These are all battlegrounds. Texas, 84%. Georgia, 70%. And some of these states like Texas and Georgia, these are in Texas, that means almost 4 million votes have been cast already. In Georgia, that means almost 2 million votes have been cast already. Montana at 70%. I mean, that, in a state, again, where it's hundreds of thousands of votes will determine the election, at 262,000 votes, that's 70%. And we're in a huge state like Florida, 3.7 million votes have already been cast. That's 62%. That's well over. I mean, you're only 38% away of votes from surpassing the last time we had a midterm election in a state like Florida. You're going to do that on election day. Yeah. The question is, by how much? I mean, does Florida these are huge early vote numbers.
But it also says that, you know, it's hard to predict what that means for which party at this point, although your sense is it bodes well for the Republicans.
I think that...
no one really knows.
Usually early voting favors Democrats.
Right.
But at this number, where we're blowing out the statistics of the past, I have to imagine that it's not just Democrats. It's also the Trump voter who I distinguish from the Republican base, or the Democrat base. I think it's this Trump voter who, in most predictions, you would not think would show up in an election. He's not on the ballot.
Yeah.
And yet he has done a very significant job. He's made the pitch constantly. He's owning this and saying, vote like I am on the ballot. And that certainly has resonated with people who have been calling into the broadcast. It's resonated with people who have been calling that they are voting straight Republican for Donald Trump.
So what are you hearing from the Democrats on Capitol Hill, fan, on this? When I was there last week, it was kind of, they were still trying to figure out what all this means, and they're feeling, they say they're confident, but they're not going to say they're not confident. But it's interesting. They're saying they're confident. Republicans running as if they're 10 behind, which is probably smart.
You always should run like you're 10 behind, even if you're confident that you're 10 ahead. Look, I think a lot of politicians who have lost elections that they thought they were going to win would tell you the same exact thing. Jay, I think Democrats are always happy when there's early numbers, but I think they're nervous about the extent to which the turnout was. And I would just say this, whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, or otherwise, we can talk about the political impact, and we should. But look, if more people are participating in the process, that is a good thing. These numbers, 3.7 million people already in Florida, that's an incredible thing.
Could this be the highest midterm ever?
Continue to rise.
Could this be the highest midterm turnout?
We're already there, probably. Yep. If you just took the early voting and add just a little bit of
highest
election.
Highest midterm turnout in U.S. history.
Yeah. I mean, if you get above 35%, you're in most states. You only have, remember, some states that have really contested races. Right. Some don't. But, again, it likely will be.
Well, all right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We've been very impressed, as you can tell, by these early voting numbers. I think many of you have as well. We've asked you about what's motivating you to get out to vote. We've got a lot of calls coming. People have been holding on a long time. I think Jeff's call coming out of West Virginia and Elkins, West Virginia, on line five, is another very telling call, which would be difficult to pick up in a poll. So I think for Jeff to be able to call in and explain a couple of new things that he's done this year. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Jeff.
I just wanted to say that I've never voted in an early election, you know, vote early in an election, and this is the first year I did it. And voted, I've always been a supporter of Joe Manchin.
Yep.
Always. But this year I went with Patrick Morrissey and the Republican Party because he's going to support Donald Trump, where Joe has kind of wavered in his support.
Yeah,
he's not really done.
He's an interesting guy, Joe Manchin. He kind of he came through right there with Kavanaugh, so on those
sort
issues.
Of.
But then that a very political decision there. But ultimately, for the most time, there's a lot of talk on being a moderate, and certainly I think that it doesn't manifest itself into actual votes a lot. But it's up to the people of West Virginia. But the fact is, Than Jeff did two things. One, he voted against a long-term popular incumbent in a state that's traditionally red, but Joe Manchin's kind of played it down the middle, and it's the first time he ever voted against Joe Manchin, and it's also the first time he ever voted early. And Joe Manchin's lead has been cut in West Virginia, and by the way, the president will be in West Virginia today. So I think a lot in Jeff's call, that's not going to get picked up by a pollster, that he early voted for the first time, yep, and that he voted against Joe Manchin for the first time in his since he's been voting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, there's all this talk, Harry, about a red wave, a blue wave rather. We might find out on Tuesday night that there was, but it feels like right before the general election in 2016.
It does, and it's also important to discount, if you will, a lot of the media reports, because it's important to remember that in 2016. The overwhelming number of journalists, particularly on television,
yeah,
but elsewhere, were predicting that it was a slam dunk for Hillary Clinton. She was drinking champagne on a plane the night before the election. And guess what? History was rewritten right before her own eyes. That's a possibility this time around with respect to the midterm elections.
Yep. Back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Guy in Ohio on line 4. Guy, welcome to JCEO Live.
Thank you for your accepting my call. One of the things you guys just talked about is what I wanted to mention. I voted Republican for the first time because of Donald Trump, okay?
Yep, yep.
And I was very confident in him. But what I watched is just what you guys just said. Why does anybody pay any attention to the polls? They were so wrong in the last election. I can remember sitting down watching TV hoping Trump would win, and they kept saying there's no way he could win. He couldn't win this.
Well, you remember that New York Times? Remember that New York Times meter? Likely that was like it was like 99% on for Hillary. Here's the thing. I think, look, Guy, I think you're right. My sense is we're going to get inundated with polling data. That's why we're not going poll by poll here. We're telling you something else is afoot. I mean, I think that's the theme that we've got. Is something else is afoot here. Something else is at play. And Than, I'm going to go to you on this. And it seems to me that the record numbers of people, you look at the rallies, you look at kind of what you're hearing now, you know, you can't always don't judge by what you're hearing on a radio broadcast either. The polling data, though, when you have these kind of numbers, those margins of errors could triple.
Well, it sure feels a lot like 2 years ago. And the question always is will the president who's not on the ballot still draw his voters to the polls? And, Jay, I do think that's the most likely explanation for these turnout numbers. But, look, I actually think Jeff's call from a minute ago illustrates this perfectly. Because if you look at the polling numbers, Joe Manchin doesn't have anything to worry about. He's got a 6, 8, 10-point lead in the polls. But if you look at Donald Trump's numbers in the states and the early turnout numbers, you're talking about a state that Donald Trump carried by 42 points and has an approval rating of almost 30 points positive in that state. If I'm Joe Manchin in that state, I'm not comforted by an 8-point polling lead. I'm worried that my rates are beneath 50% and the president is that popular in the state. I think Jeff's call is indicative that West Virginia and many other states like it, Jay, are ones to watch and might just be proof that this is a midterm that breaks all molds.
Yeah, West Virginia, which would not be a traditionally high early voting state because you got a lot of rural places where, you know, it's easy to vote election day and people kind of take that as a day. You see, you know, your town, your community. And as Jeff said, he did vote early for the first time. It's already in advance of 2014 numbers by 26%. So there's already been over about 120,000 ballots cast. And by the way, that's just in 8 days there. So they had every state's got different rules on this. Some of these, like in Tennessee, it's been going for 2 weeks. In West Virginia, it's 8 days in a place that has not seen traditionally high early voting numbers. And it's still, it's getting new early voters out to the polls. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Tony's calling from Texas on line 2. President heading there is not heading there again. I think he was just there, actually. So, Tony, welcome to JCEO Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. And I just want to say, too, you know, I am a totally independent voter. I'm an African-American voter. And also, this was my first time going and voting early. And when I saw that you could vote a straight Republican ticket, I did it for the first time ever. And I was highly motivated after I saw what happened on the Kavanaugh hearings. I saw the way the economy is going, what Trump is doing with the economy. And I went early and cast my vote and just did all Republican ticket. And I guarantee you, I would have never been counted in those polling numbers as well.
Right. No, not you wouldn't have been getting a call because you're an independent. I mean, there's other factors there. Let's talk about your African American independent, Tony. You're likely not going to come in a poll because they didn't think you're the type of voter that would probably show up in a midterm that's so partisan. And then on top of that, you voted straight Republican. Your second caller said, and you did so really for Donald Trump. But that's going to benefit Ted Cruz a lot in a race that was getting a little dicey. I don't think so much more. I don't think it is anymore. But these are the kind of turnout people voting that mean that traditional models of Sabato and Cook and all the – just don't work. The models don't work.
I was asking Will Haynes if we should try to go live on the night of the election, but it may be impossible. I
think it'd be one of those things. When you're talking about the House, you're talking about a lot of West Coast seats, and it could be very tight. So it could be, if you were talking about no wave happening on either side.
What if there was a wave?
If there's a wave, it could be that you could know by earlier midnight.
Yeah.
But if there's not a wave, you're talking about early, early hours to figure out the House, not the Senate.
You want to go live or you don't want to go live?
I think that we can make that decision as we get closer.
I mean, if we look like these numbers keep going like this,
then you're probably it's going to take a lot longer to figure out the races because the votes numbers are much higher.
Yeah.
Usually these are easy to call because the turnout's low.
Yeah.
So you get a few counties in.
Is the exit
and
polling here going to mean anything?
I mean,
maybe that shows a little bit of a wave.
Statewide, yes. But again, then you got to look at the House seats as well. The amount of data you got to drill down to determine who's going to take the House
is
very difficult to do in a short period of time. That's why you have these reports that are just go on and on and on.
Harry, do you have an instinctive feeling here? I mean, I've got this feeling that that there's something going on. I'm not sure whose party it's benefiting right now, but there's something going on. And I think, when I say I'm not sure, but I think that there were a lot of people that don't vote in midterms that are very pleased with the way the president is running the country that are going to be coming out and voting where they normally would not vote in a midterm. I may be wrong on that, but that's kind of an instinct I'm getting, not just from what I'm hearing on the calls, but in talking with people.
Well, I think your intuition is likely correct. I think that many voters are pleased with Congress and they're pleased with the president. But as I mentioned earlier, it's also important to note that a spark was lit when Dianne Feinstein engaged in her misconduct during the Kavanaugh hearings. I think up to that point in time, the Democrats were the clear favorites to take the House.
Yeah. I mean, Judy in Lakewood, California on line one. Judy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
You're on.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Yes, I'm calling in for the first time.
Great.
Because of my outrage. I have been a lifelong Democrat, but I've never voted. I haven't voted a straight ticket in 20 years.
Yep.
My call is about it got so contentious and so ugly, and I was so ashamed of the Democratic Party, which I held on to in respect to my father, who was a lifelong Democrat.
You're going to have to speak up. We're having a lot of trouble hearing. Maybe put your mouth right on that phone.
I walked away from the Democratic Party. I'm 66 years old, and I walked away. And I will be voting also a straight Republican ticket, probably for a while, because I want to see Donald Trump in office in 2020.
It's interesting that you called, Judy, and this walkaway thing is also a factor.
Yes. Yes, this is that walkaway we're talking about, and it was because of the Brett Kavanaugh treatment that Judy went from a Democrat voter who was not a straight ticket voter, to a traditional, exactly what the Republican Party is looking for, straight ticket Republican voter. I'm voting for every Republican on the ballot, and I'm doing it for I'm doing it really for Donald Trump, not because of those individual races, which blows out the idea of midterms are about local. Midterms are about
no, this is a national
issues.
Election.
Yeah,
no
feels,
question.
It feels
this
a lot
is
more
a,
like that.
Yeah, this is a national election. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, what's motivating you to vote? 800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking calls 1-800-684-3110. So Michael Moore, the film producer, Nancy Pelosi went on and said, you know, Democrats are going to win. Here's what Michael Moore said.
I'm not going to make the mistake that someone else made on a late night show a couple nights ago.
Okay.
A Democrat.
Yes.
Who just automatically announced we're going to win. And it's like, my God, that's what happened in 2016. Everybody was throwing the party for Hillary before the election. And I think some people stayed home.
Yeah, so there's Michael Moore. I mean, listen, if you were running a Democratic race, you should say you're behind. If you're running a Republican race, yeah, you should say you're behind. I don't think there's any advantage in saying you're ahead. Truth of the matter is we've got an unprecedented situation here with the largest early voting numbers in history and significantly higher than the previous year. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Danielle in California online for the interesting question. Danielle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am voting to support my president, President Trump, and I'm from a very liberal state, California, and my question is do you think that voting Republican in the state of California, we even have a chance to come out ahead?
Well, I think, listen, you got to vote your conscience. If you're a Democrat, you vote Democrat. If you're a Republican, you vote Republican. If your state leans one way or another, that's fine, but we live in a country where you get the right to vote your conscience. So vote your conscience. And in that situation, you vote your conscience. You never know what will happen. But I don't think you should be in a situation where you feel like, well, my state's a lost cause, therefore I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to vote for the other part, the party that doesn't support my positions. Yeah. I mean, I think, Harry, the idea with voting is important enough that people should just vote.
I think they should. But if you look at California in particular, it's important to note that in the California senatorial race between Feinstein and Kevin DeLeon, who's a leftist Democrat, a number of Republican voters are voting for the insurgent candidate as a way of extracting some revenge from Dianne Feinstein. They don't have any other choice. It's either her or DeLeon. DeLeon.
We didn't, you know, in California stuff, you could even ask what city you're from. I've got to figure out the congressional district, but just looking at the races that are considered competitive, there are two that are likely Democrat in California, but that still means competitive. Two that lean Democratic in California still means they're competitive. There are five Republican toss-ups, two that lean Republican, and an additional four that are likely Republican. So, yeah, your vote matters. If you're talking about where the House of Representatives, yep, if it stays Republican or not, in California, your vote matters. I mean, a lot of these districts are in California that we're talking about. Is that 15 right there, somewhere around there? 15 that are toss-up House seats just in one state.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Lydia in North Carolina on Live 5. People were talking about this a lot yesterday. Lydia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lydia, you're on the air.
Hi there. Yes, I'm very concerned about Georgia because it seems like yesterday, like, the Dems pulled the guns out, and Oprah is now going door to door with the governor's Democrat candidate. And it seems like, you know, what is it with them?
What is it with them? They're smart. Yeah. I mean, Oprah is very popular. The Democratic race and the gubernatorial race in Georgia is very tight. The Real Clear Politics average has Kemp just up by 1.1. The most recent poll has him up by +2, so it's very tight. So they bring Oprah in because she's a good campaigner.
Yeah, and I think there's not a Senate race there that's competitive. The House seats are much easier to predict in Georgia where they're going down. It should be pretty easy to predict where the governor's going down. That'd be a huge win for Democrats, let's say, because they're not probably picking up the U.S. Senate, to have the first female African-American governor of any state in a traditionally red state in Georgia. So if they're within the margin of error, yeah, they're going to pull out the big guns.
Yeah.
President Obama's going down.
Don't blame him.
Oprah's going down. Why not? I mean, why not in a time when you've got a race that's within the margin of error in a state that it shouldn't be?
That's why we live in a free country. That's what they get to do.
Yeah.
All right, take another call.
Yep. Let's go to Cheryl in Pennsylvania on line 6. Cheryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Jay. Thank you. A couple things. When you had
put the little blip on about Michael Moore when he said, my God. It's like, hello, my God. You guys don't even...
Yeah, right.
You want God kicked out of everything.
Not elections, also, evidently.
Yeah, everything. And also, two things. When I heard Donald speak, because when he first was running for presidency, I was like, ooh, okay. But I heard him speak. He was awesome. I was like, oh, gosh, this is the man. He's wonderful. I love him. And number three, I work in the mental health field.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, liberal leftists. Oh, my gosh. If they detect you're a Republican...
You're calling from Pennsylvania. There's going to be some races up there that are significant. Than, what's your kind of Pennsylvania prognostication?
Yeah, Pennsylvania is probably one of those states, Jay, where maybe only behind California it's going to determine the makeup of the House. You're talking about a lot of Republican districts that Hillary Clinton won trying to defend those seats. And just to the caller's other point, Jay, that's exactly why Donald Trump consistently outperforms the polls, both in 2016 and I think this year, because there are a lot of people that will vote for him and those he endorses, but probably wouldn't tell a pollster, including, by the way, Jay, an exit pollster. So I don't think those will be particularly accurate either.
I'm not so convinced that the exit polling is going to mean anything, Harry.
Well, I think that's correct. And I also think that the history of exit polling has been somewhat disastrous. So I think Than is absolutely correct. People will not necessarily be forthcoming of their support, particularly for Republicans on election night. So I think we're going to have to wait until the results are in.
But just to underscore, again, Pennsylvania, state Donald Trump carried, but it's traditionally a blue state, more similar like California, 9 toss-up congressional races. So, I mean, depending on where you live, you're likely very close to one of those in Pennsylvania. Yep. It's a big state, but your vote matters. I mean, there's 9 toss-up congressional races. It means races that are way too close to call on both sides of the aisle. Let's go back to the phones. Maureen in Indiana on line one. Maureen, welcome to Jay Sekulow
Live. Another state with a big race. Maureen, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So I just have 2 quick things. The first is that my parents are both much older, and my mom's health is not fabulous. But we were talking last night, and she made the comment that she could very easily stay home during a midterm election, but she is so excited about President Trump and loves and appreciates everything he's doing for our country that she said no matter how much pain she's in, she is going to vote on Tuesday.
I think this is going to be something we're seeing a lot. I also think, look, from the Democratic side, I think they're going to be motivated too.
They were already motivated. So let me make it clear in this last minute of our broadcast today as we head into the weekend before the midterm elections. The Democrats were already motivated. The question is, did Republicans and are Republicans having the last minute surge, which is the most key part of any election? And is that because Donald Trump is in Indiana today? So your older mother is turning on the TV and there he is. He's saying, please go out and vote for me. Help me. And so if you voted for me in 2016, help me by going out and voting. And there's a contentious Senate race there with an incumbent Democrat who's got less than 1% lead in any poll.
Do you think that, this is from Phil on Facebook, that independent voters are leading Republican? Any polling?
I think that's a state-by-state issue, but certainly in the last election cycle, yes. The Trump voters were a lot of independent voters, but every year we're adding more independent voters, so what that means is a little more difficult.
All right, going into the weekend, House, Republican or Democrat?
I'd say right now, if they stay on this trajectory, Republicans could keep the House.
I think Jordan is absolutely correct.
Van?
Republicans by 1.
By 1?
We are, by the way, out there. I think we're the only broadcast that is even this positive at all for the House.
You know what I say? Find out Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. Have a good weekend, everybody.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.